I'm going to talk about today how we achieve the favor of God. And also, as we go through the scriptures that are surrounding the birth of Christ, it's also, to me, it's amazing thinking about it, who God chooses. So, unlikely characters that God chooses. So, I think I'll keep those two things in mind. And we're on Matthew 2 right now, and I'm going to start in verse 1. Now, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and are come to worship him." When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and the scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel." Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. Now we're going to go ahead and skip to verse 10. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed in their own country another way. That's the first scripture that I want to talk about today. And some of my favorite characters in the Bible are Daniel. Today we're not talking about Daniel. And people like the three wise men. Why? I think it's important to note a couple of things. The wise men were scientists. They weren't Sadducees, Pharisees. They weren't the clergy, men of the cloth. They didn't have that expectation. They were scientists. Okay? And they were astrologers. So they studied the stars. Actually, fantastic things came from those studies, by the way. It's how they figured out how to do these buildings, where to place them, and all that. But that's for another day. But for today's purposes, as I mentioned earlier, who God chooses is kind of interesting. So what happens here, to give a little bit of a backdrop, we had Herod the king at this time. He was called Herod the Great. One of the reasons he was called Herod the Great is that not only was he the king of Judea, but also he had this allegiance to Rome. Okay? Another thing about Herod the Great, he could have been called Herod the Terrible. This was one bad dude. This was somebody who would do anything to stay in political power, which is what? Which is of the world. Right? Is of the world. We want to be a light shining that shows people we may not be of this world only. Right? Because we have a different king. These kings had a lot of power. A terrific amount of power. And there came with some spiritual entity to it. Not maybe the spirit that we're looking to, but they had a lot of power. So here we had these three astrologers talking and saying, there's going to be a new king of the Jews born. And this is Herod's like, what? What? What do you mean? I'm the king. Well, how did he play it? A true politician. What he said was, oh, talk to me more about that. Okay? Tell me some, sing some sweet music to me. Tell me what's going on here. And they said, well, there'll be a star in the east, and in Bethlehem there'll be born the new king of the Jews. And Herod was saying to them, could you kind of tell me when this is going to happen? Because I too want to know that, because I want to worship him. Not. Right? We all know that. So, politician speaking, the king in charge, and the three astrologers, so he says to them, and it says in the Bible, he took them away privily. I love that word, privily. But anyway, took them aside, in other words, and said, look, I want you to go out there, I want you to case it out for me, and I want you to tell me when this is happening, okay, and I want you to report back to me, okay? So, not only did these three wise men, so they heard that, okay, but they also also heard from God, and that there was a light in the stars. Now, something that I learned a little while ago was that the star that they're talking about wasn't a star that they normally studied. So where was the star coming from? All right, exactly. It's coming from the light of Christ. This was the light that he provides. That's the star they were following. Remember, these weren't church leaders, but they were willing to follow it. And what did they bring with them? They brought gifts. What kind of gifts? Gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Of the time, this is no Walmart shopping here. Okay? We're talking about treasures. So when they came to Bethlehem, as it says in the scripture, they see Mary and the newborn baby Jesus, and they fell down and worshiped. Okay, honoring him. And then they gave their treasures. So they gave the gold, the frankincense, and myrrh because that was befitting of a king. And actually, when I started out talking today, I said sacrificial giving. This was an example of truly sacrificial giving and honoring. Okay? And it starts people on the road to walk in the favor of God when you take that faith and you walk it out. So how do we obtain the favor of God? By taking the faith and walking it out. And we have so many great examples in this time here. So, the other thing I noticed, there they were. They were in front of the new King of the Jews, Emmanuel, King of Kings, Lord of Lords. They didn't ask him anything. They didn't ask him for any favors. They didn't say, could you please give me this? Could you give me that? They did the giving. I don't know. I'm kind of moved by that. So, what did they do? What they heard what the king told them, right? It says in the Bible, it says, and they went back another way. In other words, they defied the king. They didn't listen to the king. They weren't going to report on this. So they chose a path that lined up with what they knew, okay, spiritually. They chose that path which they gained spiritually. They may not have had head knowledge of it, but they experienced it spiritually. So they knew that this was the right thing to do, therefore gaining the favor of God. Okay. There are other great examples at this time when Christ was born. And thinking about some of this, think about Joseph and Mary. Okay? Joseph and Mary were espoused. It was a betrothal. And years ago that confused the daylights out of me, so I have to look it up. Betrothal meaning that it's a very serious engagement, actually like a marriage, except you don't live with the partner yet. Imagine that in our society. Okay? You don't yet live with the partner. It went about a year, okay, before that you would do that. So, then Mary, of course, gets a message from Gabriel, an angel. So hears from an angel and says that, you know, you are going to give birth. And Mary's like, huh? What? I haven't been with man. So what are we talking about? Okay, so the words that I thought were important in the scripture, I'm not going to read all the scriptures. You can read the scriptures. It says, fear not. The beginning from the angel was fear not. So when we are in the right spirit, when we are lined up with what God wants us and we're listening to what we're supposed to be walking out, we don't have to have fear. Fear not, for this child shall be of the Holy Ghost. And to me, the most important thing about Mary was she not only took this in faith, she not only believed it to be true, I call it, she kind of swallowed the faith internally, and it became a matter of heart with her. Okay? Guys, we want to ask a lot of questions, you know. We want to know, what's the deal? How did this happen? Who gave you the authority? Yeah. But no, she took it to heart, and in other places in scriptures, it speaks to how it was a matter of heart for her. She knew in her heart now. She had peace about it. Okay. Now, for the guys in our group here today, think about poor Joseph. Okay. Joseph's like, I did everything as an honorable man should do. I followed all the rules. I picked an honorable woman. I did the betrothal. Now she's pregnant. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? How can this happen to me? It doesn't have, you know, poor me in the Bible, but I can just imagine how he's feeling. There has to be some emotion going on here. There has to be a feeling of slight betrayal. Okay, but then he is also visited. Okay. And in his visit, he's visited in the same kind of way and is basically told, fear not, okay, for this child is of the Holy Ghost. Okay. And so he had now to take that in faith. And he kept his responsibility as a father. So he was earthly father. He was not the physical father. Okay. But what I find remarkable is think about talking about walking things out in faith. And I'm just thinking about me in everyday life at times that I've questioned things. So what I'm thinking about is they were visited by angels, but not all of us will be visited by angels. So how do we get these messages? We get the messages by staying faithful to being in here and prayer. I know one thing, I have to improve my prayer life. I have to set the time aside. But I also know that when I'm in there and I'm in the right spirit, then I really have peace and I don't have any worries. And the nice thing about that, there's no fear. You know? So that's kind of that's part of what I wanted to bring to you today is just an amazing period of time here where the Lord, through sacrificial giving, his only son for our redemption and for the forgiveness of sins. And the players in here also had this great faith and they walked it out. And now another part of scripture in Luke 2, chapter 18. And all that heard of it wandered at those things which were they told by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned glorifying, praising God for all the things that they heard and seen as it was told unto them. Now, the shepherds, what part did they play? Again, we don't have time to go through everything in great detail, but there's something about the shepherds that I find relative to today, and actually relative to your pastor that pastors this church. One of the things it says in the Bible, in the scripture, it says that the shepherds abide in the field. They abide in the field. And I looked that up, and what it says is, endure without wavering. So they endure without wavering, right? They don't have the highest position, but they're there taking care of their flock. Actually, that's an analogy, that's analogous to a pastor's job, what they're here for. And I know that the pastor, he loves you, and I know how he's willing to give, and he's willing to give sacrificially and take care of you, and he abides in his field. He abides in his field. That's what makes a great pastor. And I think you're so fortunate because I know that's where his heart is. Very fortunate. That's right. And so again, we pray for his healing. I've been here a couple of days. He's doing pretty well. And we pray he doesn't feel like he can do a marathon just yet. All right. Okay. And look at my notes here. So, in the story, after Jesus was born, word came down, and you know, Herod's going to do retribution, right? So again, when we speak of the world, look how differently things are dealt with. Okay, so Herod's really angry now. Those guys betrayed him. They were supposed to tell him what was going on. They didn't. He was going to get his chance to take care of business, and he didn't. So we know the story, what Herod did. He took his retribution out. But because they were in the right spirit, Joseph and Mary and Jesus, they left. And the Bible, you know, it's not going into Egypt, coming out of Egypt. But in this case, they were going into Egypt. So they stayed in Egypt. Okay? So they were there to escape the wrath of what was going to come down. And so what did Herod do? He did a dastardly thing because he was a dastardly person. And he decided, maybe we'll just kill all the children who are 2 and under, so that maybe in that global sweep, okay, I'll be able to accomplish what I want to accomplish. Certainly not of God. Okay. By the way, this is the world we're in. We have a choice every day. Sometimes I catch myself slide, you know, the political stuff that goes on, you know, it grabs my interest, you know, and before you know it, I'm like, well, wait a minute. That's not where I get my peace. And I have to remind myself, we exist in that world, and we have to make decisions that are in that world. But it's certainly not where I get my peace. My peace comes from being right with God. Right? And for today, I think it's a good thing for us all to remember during this holiday season, be so thankful for everything, that we get, but keep it right with God, and we do not have to fear. There is no fear that comes when we are in the right relation. And then we have not only that, but we have favor with God. And that's what it says about Mary a few times in the Bible. She's not spoken about a lot, actually, after. But in those few occasions, it says she had favor with God. And again, so we got this king. Finally, the king dies. And, you know, as part of the story goes, his son that took over, they divided the kingdom into 3 places. Archelaus was even worse than Herod. Okay. He was so bad that the Romans recalled him. He was even too much for them. So I think the main part of our message today is to rejoice and be so thankful that we can be in the right spirit. And in that the Bible gives us the examples to follow, and we stay in prayer, and it helps us make these right decisions. Okay? Now, something else I was thinking about. So we know that the Lord did this sacrificial giving because we have Christ. Why did he do it? I started thinking, so why did he do it? I can't have the mind of God, but I can ask the question, right? Why did he do it? So I started thinking, well, to fulfill scripture. It's true. In Isaiah 9:6 and Micah 5:2, it's predicted that there will be a new king of the Jews. That could be true, but I don't think that's the whole reason. It could be because our sins needed to be forgiven. That's also true. But I don't think it's the whole reason. I really don't. It could be for our redemption. We needed redemption. Right? I don't think that's it either. I really don't think. But it came to me that the reason that he did this, the reason that it happened, is because he loves us. It's because of his love. His love has no boundaries. It has no depth and breadth that we can measure or speak of. And in the Bible, it talks about loving kindness. That loving kindness can only come from him. And he has that for us. All we have to do is get in right relation. But to me, the umbrella and the overall reason for this is to give us an example of love. Of love. And I know I have to practice and walk it out in my everyday life. Am I doing that? Is that going to show the love of Christ? Hold yourself back. When that person cuts you off on the highway, do you need to take retribution? You know, as guys, we're like, are you kidding me? Try that again. I grew up in the city. I can't help it, you know. It comes up. But that, that, you know, so, but now I'm trying, and I have my lovely wife here who helps, and that's what our partners do, right? Try to help, but is to show the love. And so I hope that, I hope for today, as I went through this to prepare for today, I just had a warm feeling inside to know how much he loves us and what real sacrificial giving is. That's another thing that I wanted to mention today too, is, sacrificial giving. I remember when I first came in and first came a real believer, I grew up Catholic. I did have beliefs. I believed in God. But I wasn't really practicing and learning the Bible like I should have. So when I came into that, it's around the time when I met Carolyn, was that I had a little problem with money. Okay. It wasn't that I was worshiping it, but I didn't like anybody taking it. Yeah, because we grew up poor. We grew up in the project. I grew up in the projects and stuff, you know, like, we had a great time. But, you know, it was like we didn't have a lot of money. So then when I found out I could make some of this, I'm like, I'm going to keep it. Okay. I'm going to stow it away. Okay. And then I found out about this tithing, and I'm like, well, what does that mean? Tithing is you give a tenth. And I'm like, oh, a tenth of the net. No, it's not a tenth of the net. So I had a whole bunch of questions. Now, I wasn't exactly walking this out in faith. I had a bunch of questions. So my nature was to question this and say, well, you know, that, you know, and then I wanted, then once I swallowed it and said, okay, we'll give it, but I want to be able to say where it's going to go. I had to go through another hurdle. You know, I had to go through another hurdle. And let me just tell you, and I want to share this with you today. Now when we give, I just feel good inside, and I feel real good inside when we do an offering. And I can thank my wife for a lot of this because she helped get me through some of these stages. But then this sacrificial giving is when it hurts. You know, it's when you really are going above and beyond. And then I thought about this Christmas season. You know, we have examples of, we do all these things for our children. I know I did for mine. We do these things. That's honoring God. That's honoring God. The sacrifices that we make for our children, even though sometimes they're not the most appreciative, but they learn that. That comes along. But it's that sacrificial giving. And I just wanted to share a story with you. I remember we had, there was like five boys in my house, and my mom, dad was too tired to drive. You know, he worked from 3:30 in the morning till 3 in the afternoon. So when Christmas came around, I just remember, and this is in New Haven, it was freezing cold. She would pile us on the bus, you know, and bring us down to New Haven. And then, you know, we found Santa Claus. And she did her shopping, and she had arthritis, you know, so her hand. I just remember my mom standing there, sorry, and her hands were freezing, her face was freezing. We were running around being mental, you know, doing stuff that's unbelievable. And you know, all this so that we can have Christmas. I just thought about, you know, I think about that, you know. So the parents taking care of their children, and this sacrificial giving is something that I think is to take note of, you know, I take note of. And so I was so happy to hear too, you're raising money and helping others. That's what we're to be all about. And I really think that, you know, our job is to show the light of Christ. And in today's scriptures that we went over, what did they follow? I found that so remarkable that they're following a light in the sky. I mean, you don't have to be a Bible scholar, and I'm not, but you don't have to be one to figure this out. That he'll show us the way. And how do we hear the way? We have to listen carefully. Turn off CNN. But we have to listen carefully. So, I feel I feel very blessed to be able to come here today and speak with you and enjoy Christmas here. And by the way, you have such a beautiful, I love coming here in that it truly is like God's country. I love being out in the country, and it's just all the things that He's created for us, and sometimes we take it for granted. So I'm trying to learn not to take it for granted. Okay. I forgot what I was supposed to do next. Okay. So we are going to have another hymn. Please stand for us. And this is 216. Go tell it on the mount. It's kind of appropriate for you. We'll do verse 1 and 4. May God bless you and your families and everybody that we come in contact with. Let's truly rejoice the sacrificial giving that the Lord has shown us and the Lord has given example. And let us practice this, and let us be the light that people want to look to in your holy name, Jesus. Amen. Amen.